This is it. The moment we've all been waiting for. The Fall Classic, the World Series. It's here, everybody. We've been through a whole 162-game season, and it all comes down to this. A best 4 out of 7 between the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves. This is a common ground for the Astros. Their third appearance in the past 5 years, whereas the Braves, they haven't made it since 1999. Well, they want to party like it's 1999, that's for sure. So, man, a lot of us thought this was going to be it. But here we are. This is what it is. We're going to talk about it. We're getting a World Series. And, man, I'm just so pumped. I'm your co-host, Barrett Boom Bostic, as always. And I'm joined by my co-host and right-hand man, Travis T-Bone Loffley. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing well. We are, as you said, having a World Series, the real deal, after 162 games, full slate of October baseball, home and away series, part of this, playing in Houston, playing in
Atlanta.
Fans
in the stands.
Yep, fans in the stands, packed houses. It is back to the way baseball should be. We're going to have some fun tonight previewing this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm excited. Of course, I'm biased because my Astros are in it. And so I'm going to be having a whole lot of fun. I would have watched regardless of whether we were doing a podcast or not. But, you know, it is still awesome. We've invested so much into this season. And, you know, I'm excited, man. How about you?
Man, I'm thrilled. It's this is going to be a fun one to watch this year. Two fun teams, you know, really worked hard and have gone through the grind to get to this point. I've had different journeys, but you know, they both meet at the same destination that every single team hopes to be at when they start the season every year, the World Series. So yeah, it's here. And we're about to talk all about it here with the previews here, giving you guys a rundown of what happened both in the National League Championship Series and the American League Championship Series, and then previewing giving you all a recap of what happened with the Braves and the Astros on their journey to where they are right now. But before we do that, we have to do something that's very important that we start every show with here. That's a little segment that we call Pour and Score. Boom, take it away. What are you drinking this evening, and why do we do this segment?
We do it because it's just fun, you know, because why not? We want to give the love to local breweries, wineries, and distilleries, you know, drink local responsibly. We just want to give some shout-outs. We've had some fun partnerships in the past, and it's just a fun way to incorporate some of our interests into the pod, give recommendations to our audience. I know they certainly enjoy it. We've gotten plenty of good shout-outs along the way, and we just like doing it, guys, because remember, whenever you pour, you score. When you're watching at home or at the game. So T-Money, I'm gonna turn it over to you first. What are you drinking?
I'm gonna be sipping on here a bottle that I've been working through as of recent. It is Curious Beasts Red Blend, 2019 California label. Here says on the back, Curious Beasts, a simply delicious red blend, heartily grown in the magical and mystical vineyards of California. The dark cherry and decadent chocolate aromas mingle with rich and robust dark fruits, vanilla oak spice, dark as night, rich as sin, and scary good. I feel like very, very appropriate here for Halloween upcoming. You know, it's almost kind of got a little bit of like a the Day of the Dead kind of vibes to the labeling here and the design that's on the bottle here. I don't know how to describe it in words. You just have to look up this bottle yourself. But you know what I love about this wine is it doesn't just give good presentation. It backs it up as well when you put it
there
in
the glass.
There you
go. Halloween is just around the corner, man.
Yes, sir. Red blends, really just great wines that go all around with a lot of different food options and are great for, once again, just kind of sipping. You know, this, I feel like we're here and getting really into the heart of fall. This is peak wine sipping season. It's, you know, I love my beer. I love what you've introduced to me, Boom, in terms of different bourbons and whiskeys. but wine has definitely become something that I've really taken to in recent years. And
oh yeah,
you know, some people might not think of it as a baseball beverage, but you know, I think truly, actually, yeah, when we're at this very late fall period, you know, daylight savings time is about to begin. You really, I've got some of the coolest air that just keeps coming in there. The cool fronts are starting to hit now, and you're sitting on the couch. It's dark out. You've got that that glass of wine in your hand. You're watching the World Series. Really nothing better. So this is definitely one of my more enjoyable red blends that I've had. I'm going to give this one a solid 8.5 out of 10.
There you go. And can you give the name for us one more time, good sir?
Yes, sir. It is the Curious Beasts Red Blend 2019 California.
There you go, baby. Can't go wrong with it, man. You know, enjoying the finer things in life, as always.
It is, bottled by Curious Beasts in Healdsburg, California. 14.2% alcohol by volume.
There you go. So, gonna go easy on that one, right?
Yeah, it's a good sipping wine.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to worry about it being overpowering, but it's it packs the bold flavor in it that is great for sipping.
All right, cool. Well, you're good to go with, you know, the red poison right there. And I have a very special beer for everybody tonight. So this past weekend, I went to the 2021 Texas Craft Brewers Festival. Just going to be a really short plug for it. This happens every year, either in September or October. They switched it to October to beat the heat, and despite that, it was 84, which was a lot better than 94. So, plenty of shade. They did beat the heat, relatively speaking, by pushing it back a month.
the warmer days at this point in the year down here in Texas, it's a much, at least up here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's a bit of a drier heat when there's still some that's lingering around.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty muggy. But yes, the long story short is, for those of you who haven't been to this, you have to go. Every year around this year, it's all local Texas craft breweries. You go around, and they're everywhere. They're intense. You get a little 3-ounce sampler. You go around, and you just sample great beers. You have to pace yourself. You have to drink a lot of water and eat a lot of food, because you can lose your senses very quickly. But I got the system down. If you just do beer, water, you're good. But man, I tried a lot of good beers there. I tried everything from hazies to West Coast to sours to smoothie beers, like peach cobbler sour beers. Like, Trav, this was, I mean, there was so many ridiculous things there.
If you're a beer enthusiast, I take it there's everything under the sun there for you.
Like, oh,
you got all sorts of options to get adventurous with it and find something that strikes your fancy.
Oh, yeah, and it's such a good time. So I had a fun, this is like my third or fourth time going. I was there with plenty of family, tried a lot of good beers, and we were VIP. If you go VIP, you get 2 hours of drastically reduced crowds, and it's not a frenzy. But you can pay general admission, and you come in later, and the lines get really long. So, I mean, it's, if you want to pay extra, you get a more chill experience. But regardless, anyway, as a VIP member, which I've always gone VIP, you get some commemorative items that are given to you. I've gotten commemorative shirts and glasses, but this year, you know, funny enough, they gave us beer, which is like, okay, we just drank a bunch of beer at a beer festival. What do we want more of? Beer. Yeah. You know, but hey, it's cool. You know, I've gotten shirts and glasses in the past, but that commemorative beer is what I am going to be drinking tonight. And this is a very special beer because you can't find it anywhere else. This is a collaboration beer. So this evening, I present to everybody a collaboration between Blue Owl Brewing and Holdout Brewing, both Austin breweries, by the way. They collaborated to make the Horseplay Cold IPA. This is in a pint glass, everybody. If you look at it, you have some what appear to be female cowboys. Cowgirls, my apologies. They have, you know, bandanas across their face. I don't know if that's a mask reference right there. But then they're carrying a flag with a star on it. The cowgirl in the middle and the cowgirl on the left and right are just riding around with their fists in the air. Very interesting.
Are they in like a canyon there looking at that can artwork? Because it's I don't know why, but it looks like a bunch of like hot dogs in buns, like sticking up like out of the water there.
I think it's Canyon right there. But anyway, this is a very special glass commemorating the Texas Craft Brewers Festival. Designed deep in the heart of Texas by Alana Louise Lyons. So I want to give a shout out to her. This is 6.5% alcohol by volume. And on their website, they give a little descriptor for this. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. So this Horseplay Cold IPA, it is a fun collaboration between Blue Owl and Holdout Brewing that combines the strengths of both. Cold IPAs are a hybrid style that people love to debate the technicalities of. Isn't it just an IPL? IPL being India Pale Lager. Well, kinda not really. This fresh take is a slightly tart, dry, clean Pilsner base, but with super modern, tropical, fruity, citrusy hops. So it's fruity, juicy, hoppy IPA meets crispy rice lager finish. Very interesting. The slight acidity makes the finish bright and inviting and accentuates the fruit flavor from the hops. Now, we're all hip and trendy. Man, that's pretty intriguing, enticing. So this will be the first time I've tried it for everybody, so I'm gonna be drinking it out of a 2017 Texas Craft Brewers commemorative glass that I got. This might have been the first time I went, I can't recall. A lot of good things happened in 2017 for my Astros. It was all fun while we lived in bliss.
And then Ken Rosenthal dropped the bombshell. And
curse you, Ken Rosenthal. Ken. All right, I am pouring it into the glass. Here we go. Wow. So I've never had a cold IPA before. But man, that doesn't look like an IPA at all. That looks more like a Pilsner. Or like blonde ales, dare I say. Wow. Very, very interesting as I'm pouring it out into the glass. I'm going to be pouring a little bit more, getting a little bit of a head on it. All right, first impressions. Here we go. It's got kind of an IPA smell to it, though. All right, here we go. Whoa. This is pretty wild. All right, so I'm getting that rice lager finish for sure. That is pretty pungent right there. But I am getting it more fruity, citrusy hops. You know, it's not very bitter. It doesn't have the IBUs on the can or the website. So I guess IBUs are undetermined. But it is not bitter, at least in my opinion. So a little bit more sips here. You get that slight tartness for sure. It is dry. It almost tastes like a Chardonnay, which is really, this is an interesting beer. I'm not going to lie. They try to have the best of both worlds for sure. And you know what? It's good. It's pretty cool. I like it. You know, I'm more of a traditional IPA kind of guy, but you know what? I'm going to give this a 7.5 out of 10. I mean, it's refreshing. I'll give you that. You got the hops. It's the rice lager. I think it's something for everybody. I don't think it's, you know, you're not losing the qualities of both. I mean, it does kind of taste like an India Pale Lager, and I have had plenty of those. So, yeah, you know, pretty enjoyable. The Horseplay Cold IPA from Blue Owl and Holdout Brewing in Austin, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. So, who knows? They might make this widely available, or we might be the only ones to try it. But anyway, Texas Craft Brewers Festival. If you can go, start getting tickets for next year when they go on sale. It is a good time. I can promise you that. So, yep. We'll be looking forward to that. And as we always end off this segment, we like to remind our audience to please drink responsibly.
So, absolutely. The only way to drink.
There you go. Cheers, Trav.
Cheers, my friend.
All right, we're good to go. Now we're going to get straight into it, guys. You know, no breaking news to go for this one. We're diving right into it, baby. The Atlanta Braves versus the Houston Astros. These two teams used to duke it out back when the Astros were in the National League. They played many a time. In fact, the Braves won the last ever game played at the Astrodome. They won that game to win 3-1 in the National League Division Series. So, sour memories for the Astros against the Braves at the Dome. But here we go. They meet again. And really, we're just short recaps of the NLCS. The Braves really had this, Strav. I mean, you know, it started in Atlanta. They took games 1 and 2, got a very early 2-0 lead. It goes back to LA, and the Dodgers squeak one out, making it more interesting. But then in game 4 in LA, the Braves crush the Dodgers 9-2. At that point, they had a 3-1 lead, and I mean, that's game 4, and it was pretty tough. The Dodgers, to their credit, though, they did win game 5 11-2, so they ended off that home stretch for them on a high note. And in that game 5, Chris Taylor hit 3 home runs in one game, becoming only the 11th player to do that in a single playoff game, and the first person to do it in a playoff elimination game. So CT3, everybody knows CP3, but CT3 is a real thing. So that's what happened. But then, of course, went back to the ATL game 6, and this past Saturday, the Braves, they won. They're going to the World Series, baby. The NLCS MVP, Eddie Rosario, because, I mean, come on. Who else was it going to be? This guy, Trav, his batting average was .560 in the NLCS, going 14 for 25. He hit 3 bombs this whole time. 9 RBIs, reached base 26 times with a 1.04, get this, wait for it, slugging percentage. Now, let that sink in. 1.04 is a pretty good OPS. That was not his OPS. That was his slugging. His slugging. It was only half the equation. Like, what? That's stupid. He had a 1.647 OPS overall. His 14 hits ties the major league record for most hits in a single playoff series. I mean, wow. The Braves beating the Dodgers. Who would have thought that, Trav?
I certainly didn't. Neither of us did. But I think, yeah, Eddie Rosario's performance, I think, was like a microcosm of what you saw with this team throughout the entire series. Like the Braves, the Dodgers just did not have the consistency on the mound, the solid at-bats, the sort of discipline, avoiding of mental mistakes to ultimately get past the Braves in this one. The Braves were locked in from the moment that they stepped on the field for game 1, and they really did not falter much at all. They just played the better team. They got on base. They were moving the bases. Like, it was the Braves, just they got hot at the right time ultimately here when we look at their entire performance throughout the postseason this year.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. I mean, the Dodgers, they were doing everything they could. They were doing openers, trying to be... No one could do openers like the Tampa Bay Rays, but the Dodgers tried, to their credit. And, you know, they were having guys pitch on short rest, like Max Scherzer and Arias, and they were doing everything they can with their stacked, you know, best team on paper lineup. But the Atlanta Braves, man, we'll talk about their road to the World Series in a few minutes, but man, bravo to them. I mean, it does make it cool. I will say, you know, if the Braves end up winning, I'm kind of spoiling my predictions and I'm hinting at them, but let's just say, you know, I won't be as mad if the Braves end up winning as opposed to the Dodgers if they win. Because, I mean, the Dodgers, they got all the money. You know, you'd love to see the little guy beat up on the Mr. Moneybags, the deep pockets. So there you go. But then we go to the other side, and it's the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros beat the Red Sox in its 6 games in the ALCS. It started off in Houston. Astros won that first game pretty close, but then games 2 and 3, man, those were just crazy ones. The Red Sox got a 2-1 lead in the series. In game 2, the Astros gave up 2 grand slams in the first and second inning. And in game 3, they gave up a grand slam in the first. So when the Red Sox were up 2-1, us Astros fans were just like, oh man, this is they're still in Fenway. Can they do it? But then of course they go to game 4. The Astros win a close one. It's all coming down to the bitter end. But then the Astros pull away in the 9th, winning 9-2, which it was not close for the longest time in that game 4. You know, they just kind of held on, but then the Astros, once their offense turns on, Trav, I mean, it's on, baby. It is on. And then game 5, they won 9-1. Framber Valdez, I got to give a shout out to my boy, pitching 8 complete innings, only giving up 1 run. That guy's sinker was electric that day. And then game 6, they shut out the Red Sox 5-0 in H-Town, going to their 3rd World Series in 5 years. Luis Garcia, man, he pitches so much better at home, and he pitched, I think, 5 2/3 or 5 1/3, not giving up any runs. The ALCS MVP, Yordan Alvarez, baby. 522 batting average, 12 for 23. He got a home run, Oppo Taco, off Sale in Fenway. That was in game 5. 5 extra base hits, 7 runs scored, 6 RBIs, and a very impressive 1.408 OPS. His batting average is the highest batting average in ALCS history, beating your man, Trav, Kevin Youkilis, his .500 batting average in 2007. Man,
record has been broken.
There you go, Youkilis. God, the coolest last name and the funniest batting stance of all time.
Yes, like, goodness, that hand was so far up the bat. Like, it's one of those. Like, yeah, like you read about the reasoning behind why he batted that way, that like what it does in terms of the physics behind it at the plate, but like nobody else ever really has approached it that way. But he's like, you know what? I'm going to make it work.
That is
the beauty of baseball. Much like, you know, all these different fields and ballparks people play on. You know, there's all these little nuances in batting stances and behaviors. Like, you know, whether it's at the plate, on the mound, out in the field, just little things that you notice with your favorite players out there that give the game so much color and character to it. So one of the cool things about this sport that we love.
I know it is. Every pitcher's their stance, their windups, all the batting averages. I just love how they are all different. They're not all the same, and yet, you know, they're able to get all that power out of it. But man, this was a rematch for the Astros and the Red Sox. In 2018, the Red Sox bested the Astros thanks to a few Joe West calls that went against the Astros and an amazing Andrew Ben.
Your man, Joe West.
Joe West, baby. We'll talk more about the umps in this World Series in a second. But, you know, and then that Benintendi catch in left field, I'll never forget it. The Red Sox ended up winning in 2018. So here we are, a rematch of that and the Astros. The team that got all the hates this year, they come out on top this time. So
the Astros are playing angry. They put that on top of a team, you know, that has the experience, that has the firepower at the plate. They are determined to win a championship and show that they can do so in the right way. And, you know, no matter what the opinion of the general baseball populace perceives it to be. And, you know, that's something that they will carry on for them. But, I mean, like I said last time, I feel like this, I believe I said this last time, I think the Houston Astros have the potential to start like a New England Patriots type dynasty in here in Major League Baseball, of just being a player every single year of the road to the World Series running through Houston, the state of Texas. And, yeah, the Red Sox, I feel like, you know, they just the different kind of pieces that they have been trying to put together to make things happen, and just the amazing run that they have with the moves that they've been making kind of in this, I don't know if I can call it a rebuilding process for them, but just like a retooling process, it seems like, of getting back to an Astros identity. Not an Astros identity, a Red Sox identity for this team. Just at the point that the Astros were the better team in this series. Mm-hmm. They were absolutely explosive at the plate. They locked it down on the mound. Yeah, you have somebody like Yordan Alvarez who's going to got this just like killed it in every facet of the game up there. The rest of your team's going to feed off of that. And we know mm-hmm. this is an Astros team that has personalities and players that feed off of each other. Whether mentally or physically, you know what they're doing out there on the field. So, hats off to the Red Sox. They had an incredible season. The Astros were just that much better when it came to it.
Oh, yeah. You know, hats off to the Red Sox. I mean, we didn't think they would amount to anything. You and I both had the Yankees beating them in the wild card. And really, they were atop, the AL East, but then they were surpassed by the Rays, and then everyone thought, oh, there we go. There it goes. But hey, to make it all the way to the championship series, hats off to them. You know, they gave it a good year. And they got some bright future ahead of them, including Kike Hernandez, that guy. I mean, he's been around the league for a while. This isn't his first rodeo. He's with the Dodgers for a long time, but man, when that guy's on, he's on. He's just, man. They got Schwarbaum, who can hit bombs, and they got Sale back.
But he's gotten so much better at the plate compared to like when we look at him several years ago in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
He is like, he has so much more play discipline. He has much better eye for what he's trying to get out of his play appearances. I think it just he's matured a ton as a player. And yeah, mm-hmm. Kyle Schwarber's a guy that you have to like moving forward in baseball.
Oh, yeah. And they have a full season of Chris Sale next time. So will that make a difference? We will see. They are a force to be reckoned with. So, but here we are, Braves and Astros. And T-Bone, I'm going to turn it over to you. Why don't you take us, let's just go back on a journey. How did these two franchises make their way to the World Series?
Absolutely. So the Atlanta Braves, they finished the year with an 88-73 record, winning the NL East, but it was quite the journey for them to get there. Even though they started out as favorites for a decent amount, among a decent amount of the baseball media and the pundits out there. Once they started their season, though, they just were hanging out behind the Mets for the longest time. They were missing Ronald Acuña Jr., kind of their star franchise player, on a sustained torn ACL on July 10th. That put their playoff hopes in jeopardy kind of in the middle of the summer. But the trade deadline comes around, and they shored up their outfield to make up the loss for Acuña. They acquired Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall, and Eddie Rosario, all from the Indians, along with cash in exchange for Pablo Sandoval.
Oh, Pablo. The Kung Fu Panda. the Kung Fu Panda, who the Indians very, very quickly let go after that trade. That was a fact.
His time was short-lived.
Short-lived, man.
Up in the Rust Belt.
The Braves got the better of that deal, for sure.
Shout out to Pablo Sandoval. Made it on our our fattest players list back in that episode earlier
there
in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the baseball media thought they did the best they could in this situation, but it wasn't ultimately going to make a big difference for them. But the Braves would prove them wrong, and they would end up having the best record in Major League Baseball since the July 30th trade deadline. So basically, you look at it as like a whole new season that started for them. Won 2/3 of their games, essentially 44 wins and 22 losses. They eventually claimed the lead in the NL East after that trade deadline in August. Their offense was always stout, even without Acuña, but their pitching was just never elite. They had a lower run differential compared to the league leaders. And so a lot of the pundits in the media, they just had that doubt that, that the Braves were truly for real. So they ended up, as I said, winning the NL East with an 88-73 record. And throughout the playoffs to this point leading to the World Series, we've seen that their offense has maintained their production while their pitching has held their own, in thanks to notable performances by Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and Ian Anderson. Braves, they're just only pretty magical run. Ultimately, when you look at it from the second half of the season on, Barrett, do you have anything that's anything else that stuck out to you here from A-Town, the Atlanta Braves performance?
Yeah, you know, this whole time we would do all these episodes and we would just look at that NL East. And I just always saw it as a weak division because the Mets, their lead was so fragile and then they lose it. But the Braves, they can never pull away like the Brewers or the White Sox. Yeah. You know, their lead was always fragile. It's themselves.
It was I think what it is that in the NL East, those numbers were almost kind of like stunted or kind of like cloaked a bit based on Jacob deGrom and the rest of that pitching staff's performance with the Mets. And like whenever it was being an NL East matchup with those teams, I mean, nobody was ever going to gain ground on the Mets. They were just going to beat you 2-1 or 3-2 on every single night.
I know, but it's just their run differential was always, you know, it maintained a doubt in myself as well. It's just like their offense was always there from the very beginning, even without Acuna, but it's just their pitching, they were giving up a lot of runs, and so they were almost like, just outscored your opponents, I guess, but it really just proves that you have to dig beneath the surface. And while I don't know a whole lot about Max Fried and Ian Anderson, I do know a lot about my man, Game 1 starter for the World Series this year, Charlie Morton, baby. That guy was with the Astros, and that pitcher is good. No better pitcher to be Game 1 starter of the World Series. I'm telling you, Trav, this guy ages like fine wine, and when he is on, you can get at least six solid innings out of him. So it does not surprise me that he does well in the playoffs. He's been here many times for both the Rays and the Astros. So, you know, I do like that they're in. I like that they proved all of us wrong. I do like being proven wrong, except when it's just way too wrong. So, but yeah, anyway, Trav, I'm gonna turn it back over to you, man. Talk about my Astros. Talk about my Astros and why they did so well.
Yes, sir. The World Series in 2021 is a battle of the American South, two of the mecca cities within the South, A-Town, Atlanta, Georgia, H-Town, Houston, Texas, and we go down to Houston to the Astros. So the Astros, they started off their season shorthanded due to the absence of the impeccable, the ageless wonder, the man who, you know, at one point several years ago, we thought this guy's career was dead in the water, that, you know, that his best days were behind him. But we're seeing, like, we saw peak Detroit Tigers, the clutch cat, Justin Verlander, and now we're seeing a second peak, a rebirth. Man, now down south in Houston, Justin Verlander, just an ageless wonder, late 30s, continues to kill on the mound. But the Astros did not have him to start the season. And their season did not start off too well. April 21st, they were last place in the AL West. I think we took the...
one point.
We kind of had the lead. My Rangers, we kind of had the lead in the Silver Boot Series, kind of in that point where, you know, we thought, hey, the Rangers might squeak out just like a very average and mediocre clubhouse here into being in contention for the postseason. And, you know, we were humbled shortly down the way after that point, but, you know, we at least kind of took some pride and putting the Astros under our heel for a bit and making them a footstool to our ultimate baseball desires. However, the Astros would not be denied. They slowly climbed their way back up and took the lead for the division on May 20th. But once again, they quickly lost it to the A's. For much of the first half of the season, they duked it out with the A's for the division lead. The A's at one point even held as much as a 5-game lead for the division. But on June 21st, the Astros regained that division lead, and they never lost it afterwards.
There you go.
So they finished the AL West ultimately with a 95-67 record, winning the division throughout the playoffs. Their offense showed why it's statistically the best in Major League Baseball. They had some very commanding wins, but the bats went cold a few times along the way, leading to closer victories or losses throughout. No, the Seattle Mariners, who just missed a spot in the playoffs this year. You know, the Astros had the Mariners, I feel like, kind of later on in the year, they definitely duked it out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And there were some there were some frustrating performances versus them. And, you know, when you get later on in the season, and you're fighting against a couple of one or two more teams that are in the run for a wild card. And, you know, they could potentially overtake you for that, to ultimately take the division. And, you know, every game counts at that point with your with your divisional games you're playing. You don't want to see losses come in. You kind of sweat it out a bit, even as you're sitting there pretty to ultimately go play somewhere in the postseason. But their ace, tough part for them is this: their ace, Lance McCullers Jr., is most likely out of the World Series, just like he was in the ALCS, after sustaining a right forearm sprain in the ALDS. So, yeah, I mean, this Astros team is a tale of a team that, you know, has come in with loaded talent that was ready to compete once again, but it's just also they've had kind of these issues along the way that have kind of put like impurities in their play that they just play at such a high level that when some of these key pieces have been out or have not been performing at the highest level that they have, you just see where some of their vulnerabilities are. But they've powered through each and every time, and that hard work has paid off because they are now in the 2021 World Series. Boom. Your final thoughts here on your Astros.
Man, you know, I think so many people overlook the Astros despite the fact that they had the number one offense, and the reason why was because of their pitching. Even though I had been saying all along, and maybe it's because, you know, I'm biased and I'm paying attention to them, but their pitching is solid. It's not the White Sox, even though the Astros beat them. It's not the Brewers, even though the Braves beat the Brewers. But, you know, it's still rock solid. I was watching McCullers and Valdez and Garcia and Odorizzi and Urquidy. They're pretty rock solid. And, you know, it was tough not having Lance McCullers in the ALCS, but the Astros still won. But here we are. It's the World Series. I mean, we don't have our ace. Lance McCullers is our ace. He is our ace. He has ice in his veins. And it's going to be tough not seeing him in the World Series. I think he'll be in the dugout. He'll be a vocal leader. He'll be someone who really does everything he can. I'm sure he feels horrible not being there on the mound, fighting for his team. But we'll see. You know, it goes without saying, the Astros got all the hate this season, Trav. Everywhere they went, it was boos, 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 boos. People chanting F Altuve, F Altuve. Yankee fans and non-Yankee fans alike. And they were fueled off of that. I'll never forget their first series against the A's. They were in Oakland. People were booing the crap out of them. And I think they either won... You know what? They swept the A's. I know that they swept the A's in a 4-game series. They just said, you know what? You're going to boo us? Screw you guys. And I was like, yes, we're doing good. And then, of course, you know, as you pointed out, we were all the way at the last place. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to be like 2020 again. But the Astros, they're deep. They're so deep, you know. We have all the young talent. Kyle Tucker, man. I'm telling you, man. That guy, he's incredible. He was player of the month in September. He was just crushing it in the division series. And he hit a home run in game 6 of the ALCS. 1-8, our lineup is scary. I mean, Kyle Tucker could easily be the leadoff guy in any other team's lineup. But he bats 6 or 7 in our lineup. That just shows you, that's case in point as to how deep we are, man. The Astros, man, you might hate them, but you can't count them out. They're here to stay.
Yeah, they're not going away for a while, that is for sure. Well, we've got an epic matchup that's coming up here in this year's World Series. There's some fun facts that we'd like to point out here, kind of as we're winding down our program. So Brian Snicker, the manager for the Braves. He will face off against his son, Troy, who is the co-hitting coach for the Astros. So a little bit of family rivalry here is going to unfold in this year's World Series. It's fun to, going to be fun to see. This is the Astros' third World Series appearance in the past 5 years. Five straight ALCS appearances have occurred during that time. This is the first World Series appearance for the Braves since 1999. They haven't won a World Series in over 25 years since 1995. Both appearances were under the helm of legendary manager Bobby Cox. So that is this year's World Series. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. We're recording this this episode on a Monday night. First game is going to be happening tomorrow night, Tuesday. This episode comes out as you're listening to this. This is after that that game has occurred. Yep. So we don't know. As you're listening to it right now, you will know in the future what that that outcome was, and you'll be then watching game two. We have no idea what's going to be coming in next, but we do kind of have some predictions of what might occur here. Boom, I'm going to turn it off to you with your predictions here of how you see this this year's World Series ultimately playing out. Who's going to take it all? Who may be some notable performers in here? Let us know what you got.
Yep, so in our mid-season prediction, I picked the Astros to win the whole thing. I've been sticking with the Astros for the whole time on record. In the mid-season, in the playoffs, we did our playoff predictions. I'm sorry, Trav, I have to stick with them. I have to stick with them to the bitter end. We're going to win our second World Series. It's going to be clean this time, unless something else comes out, which really, if it does, then I'm just going to flip a table at that point. But anyway, the Astros are going to win. And I'll tell you what, we have home field advantage. So Tuesday, Wednesday in H-Town, you got the weekend in Atlanta. But if all comes to fail, then it goes back to H-Town for game 6 and 7. And I'm going to go with the Astros. But it's just a matter of the games. And I'm going to think about it. I'm going to go now. It's going to be Astros in 7. There you go. And I'll tell you why. I think the Braves pitching is really going to step up. Max Fried has been doing pretty darn well against powerful lineups in the Dodgers. He did really well against the Dodgers. Charlie Morton, that guy is amazing. I mean, I can never doubt that guy. And Ian Anderson, he can put up a good bat, as well as pitch. So, you know what? It's too late to turn back now. I'm between 6 and 7, and I'm just going to go 7 because I just think the Braves are going to show up. Freddie Freeman, that guy, man, is one of the nicest guys in baseball. I can't be mad at him. Rosario, I mean, they're going to be crazy. They're going to want it badly. And ATL energy, that energy. I mean, they got through it by the Dodgers, man, and the Brewers. Those teams are powerhouses. So whatever they're having, I want some of it, So Astros in 7, World Series MVP. And of course, I have to pick, it's going to be the Astros because the Astros are going to win. I'm going to go with, forget it. I'm going to go with Carlos Correa. It's a contract year. He's going into the World Series. He wants to win one for Houston so bad. This is it. Mark my words. He's going to go off. He's going to win the World Series MVP. He's going to hit at least 3 bombs. I know it sounds crazy, but he's going to do it. And there you go. That's my prediction. It's too late now to turn back. Trav, what about you, man?
I too have the Astros winning this year's World Series, but I think they're going to do it in 6. I think the Braves will take game 1, but I think, the Astros will then take game 2. Braves will take game 3, but I then see, I think actually it's going to be a trade-off through game 4, but then I see the Astros are going to close it out, get game 5 in Atlanta, take it back to game 6 in Houston, and I think they're going to close it out there. I think the Astros just have more firepower at the plate, more balanced lineup overall. I think they're going to wear down the, when you put the firepower that with the level of pitching that the Braves have, kind of without as much balance in their hitting order, I think you're going to see more. I think they're going to wear down their pitching staff a bit more, and it's going to cause maybe a game or two kind of where it's blown open a bit, and really work them and kind of tax them a bit, and just not allow them to take it 7 games. Have the Astros in 6, they'll wrap it up in Houston in game 6.
All right. You're picking the Astros, man. Yeah. You know,
I think Jose Altuve will be the MVP.
Oh, wow. That's a, you know what? In the first 2 series, the DS and DCS, he wasn't amazing. He did hit some bombs, but man, Jose Altuve, man. It can happen. It can happen. I'm not saying it can't. Like,
I feel like, you know, it's just going to get weird this year in the World Series. It's going to happen. When the South doesn't play, I mean, the South is playing, obviously, but they don't play around. It's going to be a battle until the end.
There you go. Astros Braves. You got Astros in 6. I got Astros in 7. The Braves fans listening, they're going to make fun of us so hard when the Braves end up winning. And you know what, Trav? If the Braves win, I will not be terribly upset, because I love it when teams win for the first time in a long time, when they break playoff droughts. It was just like when the Astros lost to the Nationals. You know, I was okay with it. But man, oh man, if the Dodgers beat the Braves, I would want to beat the Dodgers so bad. Every Astros fan like myself wanted Astros-Dodgers. We wanted to beat the Dodgers again and shut up all the haters this time around. But alas, that will be delayed, at least for now. Maybe we'll get a rematch one day. So
that's why there's always next year.
Yeah, but we'll see, man. It's going to be exciting. We're going to be watching it. We're going to be tweeting it away. But yeah, let's just watch this together, everybody. It's the World Series. It's my favorite time of year.
Absolutely. Well, we really enjoyed everybody tuning in for this episode, having you along for the ride here as we preview the 2021 World Series. Hope you enjoy it just as much as we plan to get yourself a good beverage. Maybe take a look at some of the ones that we've previewed here on our show up to this point. Try something new. Kick back. Relax. If you live in Houston or Atlanta, or you have the opportunity to travel to either place for the World Series, have a blast. It's definitely something that is on both of our lists to be able to do someday here as we're making our baseball travels. So enjoy it wherever you're watching this game. So we're closing out this episode here. Ask some favors of y'all. So first off, go ahead and subscribe today, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple, Spotify, you name it, across the spectrum. Podcasts are available anywhere and everywhere these days. Subscribe so you'll get those notifications coming across your phone or wherever you're getting them sent to, so that you do not miss out on any future content coming here from No Doubter. Leave us a 5-star review if you've enjoyed the show. If you have any constructive criticism too about what we've been doing here at No Doubter, Boom and I are absolutely open to it. That's going to help us grow the show moving forward, is when we can hear from you and listen to what you want to hear. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Those are both going to be at No Doubter Pod. You can follow Boom and myself as well on our personal accounts, BoomBostic21 and Travis Loffley. You can join our Patreon today and get an even greater level of access to No Doubter and help ensure that we continue bringing you more of your favorite baseball content. We've currently got 4 different tiers available right now: Prospect, Rookie, Veteran, and Legend. Check those out. Get the benefits increase with each level that you go up there. You know, we'll eventually be doing some really cool stuff there, and we'd love you to check it out in the meantime right now and kind of get on that bottom level and start being a part of things like mailbags and other things that we'll do in the future. Take a look at our merch store. Our partner at Teespring has been excellent for us. They provide a great store with mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, baseball shirts, phone cases. More items will come in the future there. You can find so many different things with the No Doubter logo on it. Help spread the word about our program and let people know that we are an up-and-coming podcast and that we really want people who, you know, living by our mission of why we do No Doubter here. So, you know, we exist for the diehards, the skeptics, the casuals, people who are looking to give the sport of baseball a chance, wherever you are along the spectrum, we welcome you here in the No Doubter community. It's for everyone. We want you to be part of this journey here of what we're doing. So please consider these things like Patreon and our merch store that really can help us out as we're growing this thing. You'll see all these links for what we just talked about here in the description below. This has been another great episode of No Doubter. Thank you for joining us once again. Boom. What do you like to let our audience know to do as we close out every show?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as you're going throughout life, as you're watching the World Series along with us, you know, grinding it at work, at our home, wherever you are, be sure to be like us, bat 400 and always swing for defense is the only way to go. Let's do it together. Let's finish this baseball season strong together. Let's tweet it up. Let's enjoy these next 2 weeks. So good night, everybody. We will catch you all again sometime next week. Yeah, the World Series will either be over or it will be ongoing, but we got plenty of content coming your way. So we'll see y'all then.
Take care, everyone.
This episode of No Doubter was produced by Eric Bostick and Travis Laughlin and edited by Travis Foster. Our logo was designed by Lindsay Silblick.